The IRS. Why are they always in our business, Paul? What is the deal on that?
Well, that's just what they do, I guess. All right, they got to start collecting some of that money back from the stimulus payments that went out from that pandemic. So, I mean, it's going to be a tough road ahead here for these people, that especially with the payroll tax, I think are going to be a big deal for people that, you know, businesses that can't pay the payroll taxes because their income is down.
Yeah, and that's going to hit early next year, right? That's going to be a big issue at that point.
Yeah, because right now they can defer paying those taxes. So then now if they can't pay them now when they're supposed to get paid now in 2021, then there's going to be big problems for all these businesses for sure.
And this pandemic doesn't seem to be getting any better anytime soon. So hopefully things will turn around. But anyway, let's talk about this new client that got a hold of you regarding some tax issues that go all the way back to the 1980s, Paul.
Yeah, so this it's Wisconsin's withholding tax and sales tax for 7 months from November of 85 to May of 86. And he probably only owed probably about $5,000 back then. When I talked to the state revenue agent this past week, she couldn't even tell me what the balance due was. But they've collected almost $35,000 since that time. They still owes like $44,000. And they started garnishing his wages at his job, taking like 25% of his gross wages. So what I got to do now is I got to file an offer and compromise to see if I can just get that account closed out. But it's ridiculous that they're still, you know, going after him for that kind of money when he's probably paid that seven times over already.
Wow. Have you dealt with cases before that have gone back that far?
No. See, what happens with if it was an IRS case, you know, that would all fell off after 10 years because they have a 10-year statute of limitations. So that's the big difference between the IRS and state is, you know, the state, they don't have a statute of limitations where they say, hey, we get to 10 years or 15 years. If you didn't pay, we just close the account. So that's the big deal. If you have both a state and IRS problem, I always recommend to my clients that we got to work with the state first, see if we can get that cleaned up. Plus the interest rate is 18%. So, you know, the interest was accumulating at 18% since that time.
Oh, my.
So that's why when he's making these payments, these minimal payments over like 35 years, it's barely paying the interest each month.
You know, so, Paul, it's not unlike having credit card debt because, you know, the huge amounts of interest that they charge for, you know, it's an XYZ credit card. If you pay just a little bit at a time with the interest rate, you're never going to catch up.
No, that exactly. And see, the state does it on purpose because, you know, the IRS interest rate's only 6%. So they want to entice the taxpayer if they got both an IRS and state problem to pay the state first just because of the higher interest rate. And plus the statute of limitations. There's no statute of limitations, so they play that card too. So, yeah, you always have to work with the state first before the IRS if you have both a state and IRS problem.
Now, is the state relatively easy to work with, or is it a difficult process from your end of the thing?
No, I find the work with the state is a lot more harder to work with than the IRS as far as working out agreements. The state is more like I got to do an offer and compromise for this guy, so they're going to want receipts for everything versus the IRS if he's in the same situation with the IRS. You know, they give them an allowance for food, they give them an allowance for rent and utilities paid each month. So even if he's, you know, doesn't have receipts and everything, they're going to let that stuff slide. But the state is pretty a stickler if you're trying to get out of, you know, tax debt, that you got to, you know, provide proof of almost all your expenses in your household.
Now, let's say you're in this situation and the pandemic has cost you your employment. You lose your job for any reason. What happens then?
Well, I do have a client right now that was, his hours were greatly reduced. He's up in New Berlin. So then I got the state, they were taking like 20% out of his wages each week. So I got him down to a 5% garnishment right now. And they're going to review it at the end of the year. So when I got it down to 5%, I had to send in detailed financial statements. And then they expect the same detailed financial statements in January to review his case again to see if they can keep it at 5% just because of the situation, because of, you know, he's making a lot less money than he did in 2019.
I would imagine that they're running into that scenario quite a bit, you know, with COVID.
Yeah, because even before this, we know when everything was shut down back in April and May and June, part of June there, I was able to get a couple of people with the state just to defer. They stopped the garnishments altogether. Then they reviewed it at the end of August, and then they were back working again. So then they picked up the garnishments. But yeah, they had some leeway room there just because of the situation we're in that we've never seen in our lifetimes here, you know, in 2020.
So bottom line is make sure you pay your state taxes. Holy cow. 18% and no statute of limitations. Paul, if folks are in the issue, are in the weeds with the IRS, federal or state, they need to give you a call.
Yeah, my website, go to my website, 262tax.com. My phone number's on there. I've got a contact page. If you send me an email through that page, I'll get back to you within 24 hours.
Paul Francetic, Don't Get Frantic, every Saturday morning, 7 a.m. Good show, and a chance to win a big prize on that program as well. Paul, thanks so much. Have a terrific week, okay?
All right. Thank you, Bill. Appreciate you having me on.